Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on this, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. My name is Darlene Schwenk, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to our God. We hope you feel as if you are here with us in person, and we certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our order of worship is Design Service 2 on page 158 of Lutheran Worship. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, My Lord, What a Morning.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be with all of you this morning for worship. It's the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, and we're going to be following the order of service as it's printed before you in your worship bulletin. We'll continue now with the confession and the absolution as it's printed right before you on page 3. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, judge eternal, you love justice and hate oppression, and you call us to share your zeal for truth. Give us courage to take our stand with all victims of bloodshed and greed, and following your servants and prophets, to look to the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please have a seat.
The lector this morning is Karen Schaefer. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Karen.
The first reading is from Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 23 through 29. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream recount the dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God presides in the great assembly. He renders judgment among the gods. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked?
Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked.
The gods know nothing. They understand nothing.
They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken.
I said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High.
But you will die like mere mortals. You will fall like every other ruler. Rise up, O God, judge the earth. For all the nations are your inheritance.
The second reading is from Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 29 to chapter 12, verse 2. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Japheth, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released, so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Please rise, if able, for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 49 to 56.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divisions.
I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, and you can do nothing. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on this 11th Sunday after Pentecost. My name is Jim Kless, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to you, our God. We hope you feel as you are with us in person, and we certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our word of worship is special worship service entitled I Am Published by Creative Communications. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, Awake, My Soul, and With the Sun, hymn 478 in the Lutheran Worship.
Thank you.
morning.
Good morning.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be with all of you this morning for worship. We are following the order of service as it is printed before you in your worship bulletin. This is the last week of our worship and sermon series that we started 6 weeks ago as we've been thinking about Jesus' I Am statements. Today our theme is I Am the Vine. So that's what we're going to talk about in just a little while. Now, before we get into the service itself, I need these three pews to move over here. We're off balance. The ship is kind of leaning to this side a little bit. So it's got my head kind of move like this. So I need you guys just to move over. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I'm looking out and I'm like, yeah, there's a little, the left side or to my left is full. And then I look over to this side and we're only about half over here. So we got to balance it out. So anybody willing to move? I didn't think so. All right. Anyway, let's continue with the order of service as it's before you. We make our beginning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the true vine. By faith we are joined to you and receive from you forgiveness and life. Your word and your holy supper nourish us in faith. Help us by your Spirit to bear fruit in works of love and service to others. We pray that our words and our works will be a witness for you, so that others will be joined to you, the true vine, for all eternity. Amen. Please have a seat.
Join us now as we sing our family hymn, Have No Fear, Little Flock, hymn 410 in the Lutheran worship.
Little flock, have good cheer, little flock.
The lector this morning is Karen Schaefer. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Karen.
The first reading is from Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 5 through 6. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 15th chapter, verses 5 through 9.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. We confess our faith together now in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please have a seat.
Please join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, Chief of Sinners, Through IV, hymn 285 in the Lutheran Worship. This is Your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, at exactly 13 on your AM dial, Radio WXRL.
I am his and he is.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I chose for the sermon this morning is taken from St. John's Gospel, the 15th chapter. That's the Gospel reading that Karen read for us just a few moments ago. You know, I have to admit that every time I hear this Gospel reading, my mind always is drawn to think back to when Brandon and Ava were little. And, well, to no surprise, my grass was always filled with dandelions, you know, because I don't know anything about weed and feed or whatever. But like typical kids, by the way, for some reason, the twins aren't into this, you know, picking dandelions out of the lawn. I don't know what it is. They're more into throwing cherry tomatoes into the pool. Well, thanks for laughing at that, because it's real fun at 10 o'clock at night just before I put the pool cover on, but I'm out there with goggles like an underwater nighttime diver trying to find cherry tomatoes at the bottom of the pool. But anyway, when Brandon and Ava were little, they would take and pick those dandelions out of the lawn. That's what kids do, right? And then they would present them with just a certain kind of pride in their hearts, right? And they would present them to you, and then as good parents, of course, you would fill up a cup of water, and you'd stick those dandelions in that cup of water. What a remarkable expression of love it was, even though it was their weeds. What an expression of love. But you know just as well as I do that it doesn't take all that long for those little dandelions that were an expression of love. It doesn't take long for them to start to curl up over the cup and wilt. See, once those dandelions are connected, weeds or not, once they're disconnected from that life source, once they're disconnected from that rich soil and the moisture in the soil, they begin to wither and die. And I think that's kind of the lesson that Jesus is giving to us in the gospel, the importance of connectedness to the life source. Now, for you and me, it's not so much a gardening lesson. If you need gardening lessons, you talk to Karen. And you talk to Sue and Tom. Don't talk to me. But this is a life lesson for us, isn't it? It's really a personal lesson for you and for me. Jesus says to us in the gospel today, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, nothing. You can do nothing. Now let me ask you, a message like this, words like this that you see in the gospel, how would you say they're received in today's world? I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. How would you say those words are received in our society today? Not so good, right? We live in a society right now, I think it's a kind of society that's built on me, myself, and I. It's a kind of society, a self-help kind of world. Not entirely, but it's certainly there, isn't it? We're constantly hearing messages that say to us, look deep within yourself. Look deep inside of yourself and you can find the remedy to whatever it is that you need to find a remedy for. You've got the power within yourself to do what you need to do. And as far as our relationship with God goes, well, we can do things the way that we see fit. We can do things the way we think is best for our lives, and we can do the good that we need to do apart from Him. And whatever it is that we do end up doing, well, it should be pleasing enough to Him. And what about our relationship with Him? Even there, the ball's in your court. At least that's what seems to be suggested. We can stay connected to God however we see fit. The church, this place, the proclamation of the word, the remarkable gift of the sacrament, it's overrated. I can worship God when and where and how I want to worship Him. I don't need the church. I can pray to Him. I can connect to Him right from my coffee table with my cup of coffee. And that's most certainly true. You can connect to God wherever you are. Don't get me wrong. But there is something about this place. There is something about the connectedness that comes from being in faith community together. Certainly not at all overrated. You know, friends, while the world and sometimes our sin nature tells us that we have what it takes and we can tick however we want to tick, Christ reminds us today that apart from Him, apart from the connectedness and the gifts that He gives to us, apart from Him, we're nothing. Apart from Him, we have nothing. You see, apart from this, our Jesus, you and me could never earn favor with God. Apart from Him, we could never perfectly or we could never receive that wonderful gift of forgiveness that's ours in Him. Apart from Jesus, we could never inherit eternal life. Apart from Him, we could never do the good that we ought to do. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing but remain in me. And I remain in you. And no branch can bear fruit by itself. It has to remain in the vine. You see, apart from Christ, we are nothing. Apart from Christ, we have nothing. But with Christ, we have everything. Connected to the vine, our Jesus, we have just what we need. Connected to the vine, you and me have life. The Bible says that we were dead to sin. And we don't like to hear that part. We're dead to sin. We were cut off. But in Christ, by way of His death, by way of His resurrection, we're restored. We're connected. We're alive. He went the way of the cross and the grave for you and me so that we might have life, have it to the full, forever. Connected to the vine, we're nurtured. You see, despite those popular notions, we desperately need that regular connection to our Jesus. We need that regular connection to Him very personally as He comes to us in His Word, in His sacraments. We need regular connection in His body, meaning this togetherness that we have in this place. We need it. We need to connect to Him. We need to connect to each other. And as we connect to Him, how you and I are strengthened. As we connect to Him, how those doubts and those fears are subsided, swept away. How darkness is turned to light. And as you and I are connected to Him, how we grow. How we grow very personally in our faith, and how we grow together as we journey. And as we're nurtured in Him, how love abounds. How that love abounds and how fruit begins to develop. You see, connected to the vine,
we are a people who bear good fruit. In the book of James in the Bible, it says, faith without works is dead. You've heard that before, right? Faith without works is dead, says James. But because of our root, because of our root in Jesus, you and I are given this most remarkable gift of faith. And because of Jesus, who first loved us, we love. And we bear fruit into this world. Let me ask you, what do you think that fruit looks like? What do you think? What kind of fruit do we bear into the world? What kind of fruit are we called to bear in the world? Oranges. What kind of fruit? I don't know, this is where you come in. Help me out here. I ran out of time. Service. Servants' hearts. Do you know that was my answer in my exit interview? When I was going through seminary, when I graduated seminary, the professors asked me, what's the mark of a pastor? I said, a pastor has to have a servant's heart. That was my answer. No. I'm here. Yeah, no, that's good. I hope not. I thought that was the mark. You know, I really did. Because that's the model that Jesus gives to each of us. And I think that's the mark of a Christian, Karen. I really do. I think we're all called to be servants. You know, setting aside ourselves for the sake of others, being a presence for people in whatever season they find themselves in. Don't always do it perfectly, but we're called to be servants. And boy, is that countercultural in some ways, isn't it? Particularly as we think about what we talked about a little bit, the me, myself, and I world. Servant. What else? What does this fruit look like? The kind of fruit that we're called to bear as God's people. The kind of fruit that the Spirit empowers us to bear as we get out of the way. What do you think? Examples. Mm-hmm. And the example that we set finds its roots in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to say a little something about that in a minute. Shine. Remember the illustration I shared with you guys? I think it was on All Saints Day some time ago. A little boy was in Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher asked, "Who are the saints?" And this little boy was the kind of kid that, well, when he was in church, was fascinated by all the stuff that you see in the church. And the little boy couldn't help but to think of the people and the images on the stained glass. And so when the Sunday school teacher asked, "Who are the saints?" the little boy real quick fired up his hand and he says, "Well, the saints, those are those people that the light shines through." And that's the truth. That's what we are. Saints and sinners at the same time, of course, you know. But we are God's saints. We are the very people in this world that the light of God's love shines through. You know, I think Paul gives us a real good example in Colossians chapter 3. Can you just play nice with me today, would you? Can you open up your Bible for a second? If you go to Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to go to verse 12. I think this is a beautiful example of the kind of fruit that you and I are called to bear. This is a beautiful example of the kind of people that we're empowered to be in our world today. Everybody there? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. It's on page 1184 in your pew Bible. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love. Put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of the body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I think that's the kind of fruit that you and I are called to bear into our world, to be a people who are clothed with kindness and humility, gentleness and patience, the kind of people who are forgiving, a kind of people who are willing to serve, a kind of people who set an example that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. Imagine just for a minute what this world would look like with those kinds of things abounding. Yesterday, I helped out at a funeral. He was a friend in some ways to St. John's, Nick Orlando. Some of you maybe remember Nick. He would kind of come sporadically at times to worship. He would come to Bible studies. He would come and he would visit me sometimes in the office. And it was never a convenient time when Nick would show up. I'm just being honest with you, but there's always time. Conversations were never short with Nick. But anyway, it pleased our Lord to call Nick home after a battle with ALS. I helped out at his funeral yesterday, and as the funeral was just starting out or whatever, I happened to be talking with one of the elders at the church there, and just kind of making small talk with the elder who was helping out. And as we were chatting, the whole matter of our world, and the condition of our world, particularly these acts of violence that seem to be happening more often, came up as a point of conversation. Just alone last week, there were two shootings. One took place in Ohio and one in El Paso, Texas. And then if I remember correctly, there was also a mass stabbing of sorts that took place last week in California. It's happening, and it's happening so often. So as we conversed, what's going on? And as we think about these incidents that are happening around us, and sometimes they're even hitting close to home. It wasn't all that long ago that something like that happened right in Cheektowaga. It has our insides kind of turning, doesn't it? It has us fearful, even though our faith tells us, have no fear, little flock. We can't help it at times that fear just has a way of overtaking us. The places that we once enjoyed going, maybe we're taking a step back and saying, not today. Places that involve lots of people, maybe we're avoiding. What is it? What's going on with our world, our culture, our nation? That's what we asked. And then I kind of shared my thought on it, and I'm going to share it with you. We're good. We're good at staying connected, aren't we? We're a kind of people who are connected in ways that we've never, ever been connected before. Think back. I'm younger than most of you. Ha ha. I'm just kidding. But the days of mom giving you a quarter for the payphone are long gone. We're connected in unbelievable ways, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but we're connected. And not only that, we make sure that we're connected to the things that are of interest to us. We're connected to our self-interest. We're connected to our ideas. We're connected to our opinions. We're connected to all kinds of things
connected to our phones, connected to our eye devices. We've done a real good job at connecting up our kids to all kinds of different things to the point that their schedules are packed full. We're guilty of that. Connected like never before. People connected. But the one thing that has become evidently clear to me is faith. Christ Jesus, His Word, His church, community. It's not center anymore. And in some regards, it's completely absent, severed, disconnect. And how the devil goes to work then, how the devil goes to work on those vulnerable minds. You know, people have all kinds of thoughts and ideas as to why so many of these violent acts are happening in our world. But I'm convinced that faith has taken a back seat. And because faith has taken a back seat, that has a profound impact on our culture. Jesus' love is absent from people's lives. Connectedness to the vine is missing. Connectedness to the beautifulness of faith communities like this is gone. Maybe even not even known in people's lives. You know, we donate. I'm going off on a little tangent here, but we donate chairs, you know, downstairs to the Boys and Girls Club pretty often, I would say. Whenever they have a big event going on, well, I refuse to lug 100 chairs by myself across the street. So we commission all the kids from the Boys and Girls Club, and they parade across the street, and 30, 40 of them come over, and they grab the chairs from downstairs, and they take them over to the Boys and Girls Club. And I stand there, and I supervise. And it's neat because these kids get to come into the building. But it made me sad one day when this young boy was maybe, I don't know, 12 or 13 years old, and he comes in through the door. Didn't even come in this portion of the building. As he walked through the doors and starts to make his way down the side stairs there, he looks up and he makes his way into the basement and he says, "Boy, so this is what a church looks like." Never knew what the inside of a church building looked like. There's a disconnect. There's a disconnect. It's missing. And now is the time. Now is the time, more than ever, we have to bring that connectedness back. We have to. Don't share your favorite restaurant. Well, you can. But now is the time to share your church. Because I think, I'm convinced that that is just what our culture needs. Why? Because as the church, as the people of God, we are called to be a people who are grounded and rooted in Christ Jesus, which means we are grounded in love. We're a people who see the value of life. We have to fill these pews. And I think, I believe in my heart that that will make all of the difference. Now is the time. We can't have these young people anymore saying, "This is what the inside of a church looks like." Maybe a little less time on the ball fields and those kinds of things. And I don't mean that offensively, but maybe a little less time there and a lot more time. Because here the example is set. Here morals are instilled. Here love is called to abound. Now is the time to fill the pews. Now is the time to connect to the vine so that we all together might bear fruit and there find life and there find love that abounds. It's not easy work and people are going to resist, but I believe in my heart that this is the best place for people to be, especially today. May the Spirit empower us to be bold. May this period empower us to step out so that our world might change for the good, so that people might come to know love through us, and a love that never fails in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Congregation offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning's radio broadcast is sponsored by the Passenger family. With grace of God, they are celebrating the Passenger's birthdays for Lucas, Jim, and Trudy.
Together in speaking the offertory. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please also say a special word of prayer for Lillian Schultz, as I've learned that she is being evaluated by hospice, so please keep Lillian in your prayers. For Walter Keneal, Walter is a friend of our congregation. He continues to have health issues. As I mentioned at the start of the sermon, we're going to say a special word of prayer for the family of Nick Orlando this morning as they mourn the passing of Nick. For all the victims of violence in our nation and in our world, that God would bring comfort to their hearts, and also for the families of those victims. We say a special word of prayer for Marcia McKinney's friend. When Marcia left me the message, she didn't give me her friend's name, but that's okay. God knows who she is. But we're going to pray for Marcia McKinney's friend who was recently diagnosed with cancer. For Becky Warner's mom, Barb, who's starting some cancer treatments, and also a friend of Mary Warner, Dan, who has some health issues. And last but not least, we're going to say a special word of prayer this morning for Ethan as we celebrate with him. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to be here for the faith stepping stone, the graduation stepping stone, but Ethan graduated from high school this year. And we give thanks to God for the gift that he is to his family, his community, and pray God's blessings upon him as he begins anew, a brand new season for you, my friend. So we give thanks to God for that. I'm going to skip the petitions in your bulletin, and I'm just going to pray with you this morning. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given to us. My hunch is that many of us prayed for a beautiful day today as we're in just a short while going to be heading out to Camp Pioneer to fellowship together, to enjoy the beautiful creation that you've created for us. And while the sun is so remarkable and shining so brilliantly outside, how the sun, your son, our Savior Jesus, is shining even brighter in this place. Lord, we give thanks to you for the presence of your son in our lives. We thank you for the continued connectedness that we have in him. We thank you for the forgiveness and the life that is ours in him. Lord, as we receive his life-giving presence, as it courses through our veins, as it pumps through our hearts, Lord, we pray that you empower us to be a people that the light shines through in our world, in this sometimes very, very dark world, Lord. We pray that you would empower us to be a people of change, to be a bold people who share love, who reach out to those who are hurting, whether it's physically or mentally, whatever it is, help us to be a people that reach out to help those maybe who feel lost and lonely to know love, your love, and help that love transform hearts. Lord, you have the power to drive out what is evil. You've proven that to us. 3 days in the grave didn't keep you down. You stomped the devil right in the face. You have the power to destroy what is evil, Lord. Touch hearts with your presence. Transform hearts that love might abound. Lord, we give you thanks this day for your continued presence in the lives of people who especially find themselves in any kind of need. We pray today for Lillian as she is being cared for. Lord, we pray that you would bring a peace to her heart in a way that only you can bring it. For our friend Walter as he has continued health issues. We pray today for the family of Nick as they mourn his passing. Lord, we pray that you would bring to his family's hearts comfort and assuredness in the resurrection to life eternal. We pray for all the victims of violence in our country and in our world. We pray for the families of those victims that they too might be consoled. For Marcia's friend as she faces a cancer diagnosis, and also for Becky's mom. Lord, we pray that you would be with the doctors and the nurses that are entrusted to their care, to the technicians, whoever will be looking after them. We pray, Lord, that you would give to them wisdom and insight to make them well. We pray for Dan in his time of need just as well. Lord, you are a God of new beginnings. And so today we say a special word of prayer for Ethan. We celebrate with him as he rejoices in his graduation, as he prepares his mind for what is to come. Lord, what a blessing he is to his family. What a blessing he is to this community. How you have gifted him in remarkable ways. And now, Lord, open up his heart and his mind. Send your spirit upon him that he might see his role in your kingdom, that he might see the work that he's called to do in your name and how his work can change the world. Lord, we pray that you would empower him, help him to get out of the way, that he might do the good that you have for him to do. Give him wisdom and insight as he studies. And Lord, we pray that you would always, always, always keep him connected to this faith community right here. Lord, all these things and so many other things, we bring them before you, confident that you hear our prayers, knowing that you answer in your good and gracious time. And so we pray to you confidently in the precious name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Now we pray together as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ready, buddy?
The people of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in the center of the pew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by grace of God alone, that we know about that grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship with us in person in the near future. Our building is handicapped accessible. If you would like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcast. If you would like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, we would welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Our address is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043. You can also mail us. Our email address is secretary@sjcdepew.com. This is your announcer, Jim Klatz, wishing you God's protection and care for the days ahead.
Up and bear abundant fruit. We praise you for the means of grace.
Our closing hymn is Almighty Father, Bless the World, hymn 216 in the Lutheran worship.
Grant, Lord, that we who worshipped here may all at last in heaven appear.
Please have a seat for a moment. Good morning again. Good to be with you. Good to worship with you this morning. I pray that you've been blessed in your time here. What a joy it is to be together in this place. Just a quick couple of announcements for now, and then I'm going to have Ethan come forward, and we're gonna ask God's blessings upon him. But obviously, as we well know, today is the church picnic, and thank God it's sunny and it's warm, right? What a good day it's going to be out at Pioneer. I'm assuming everybody's going to probably start heading out as soon as I stop talking. So it should be a good day. It's not too late, Kim, if folks want to sign up, right? So if anybody wants to, if there's been a change of plans for you and you want to come out to be with us, that would be fantastic. If you don't know where Pioneer is, I'm sure the directions are on their website, but I'll just kind of give you what I think is the best way to get out there is you can take the 90, right? Take the 90 to the Eden Angola exit when you get off the exit. I don't remember the name of the street, but you can either go left or right off of the exit. You're going to go right. Take that all the way down to the end. That takes you to what is Route 5. The left, you'll see a Tim Hortons on the corner. You make the left, take that down to Her Road, H-E-R-R, make a right on Her, and Pioneer's right at the end. All right? Yep. Or GPS. Once you're there, you got to take the ferry across the lake over to Canada. No, I'm just kidding. You'll see once you get there, you go in through the parking lot is across the street from the camp itself. So you enter into the camp. There's different paths, but basically what you're gonna want to do is you go to I think it's called the UAW, that's who sponsored the shelter. But it's a new pavilion. All right. So you don't want to hang to the left. That's Went Shelter. We're not going to be in Went Shelter. That's the big kind of the old traditional Pioneer shelter. We're not going to be at Went Shelter. We're going to be at the new UAW, which is more off to the right, it would be to the right of Hickman Hall. If you know where Hickman Hall is, Hickman Hall has got the porch that kind of overlooks the lake. The pavilion that we're going to be at is right next to Hickman Hall. Okay, so it's not huge, so you'll find it. You'll see us. I heard Kim and Tony have a lot of fireworks, so. There you go. But it'll be a good day. It's not too late to sign up. We're going to do food at different times today. 2 o'clock, they'll start firing up the grill, and then again at 4:30. We do ask that that you do bring a dish to pass, and I'm assuming beverages are on your, you're on your own for that too. Okay, all right. So that's that. Any other questions or? Thank you. That'd be interesting. Yeah, but and Millie says put your name on everything. All right, so that's this afternoon. Just kind of looking ahead, this coming Wednesday, for those of you who might be, I sent letters out, but anybody else that might be interested, April kind of kicks off our 125th year as a congregation here. We're going to have a sort of kickoff planning meeting this coming Wednesday, August 14th. I believe I said 7 o'clock for that. So if anybody's interested in being a part of that, please join with us on Wednesday at 7 o'clock as we're going to start kind of talking out plans and those kinds of things. Also looking ahead, September 4th, I believe it is, at 7 o'clock, is going to be a kickoff meeting for the 8th grade confirmation group. For those of you who are in confirmation, you should have received a letter this past week. That will kind of be the kickoff date. So I want parents and kids there on September 4th to kind of go over what I'm expecting this year for confirmation. Okay? Ethan, why don't you come on up, my friend? Mom, Dad, if anybody else wants to come up, you're more than welcome to come up as well. All right, I'm going to have you, how about stand right there? Mom and Dad, you're going to, Grandma, Grandpa, you're going to be behind them for now. Yeah, what are you eating? Yeah, I was never blessed with height. The other direction I've done pretty good at, but anyway, all right, enough of that. Ethan, what a day today is. Today we're celebrating with you as you celebrating a milestone, really. That's what it is for you, isn't it? A milestone, a new beginning. We celebrate not only that, but it's also another step in your faith. Mom and Dad, it wasn't all that long ago, hard to believe, that you brought him forward right to this place, to a baptismal font. And there, at that font, there were promises that were made, and the first of those promises came from God. And we can never forget that part. Those promises came from God, Ethan, and those promises said to you that you're mine. You are mine. I know you by name. And those promises said to you that there's nothing that will ever separate you from my love. Promises that said that my forgiveness for you in those times, maybe when we're not living the way that we ought to be living, and that happens, my forgiveness is always there for you, readily available for you. And in me, there's life, life abundant. And there's going to be people throughout your life constantly grabbing at your heart and saying that there's life in other places. But the life that I give to you is a life that will never fade away. I have the promise of life abundant now and forever. Those were the promises. But it took some time for you to learn and to grow in that faith and in those promises. And Mom and Dad, as you stood up and your family stood nearby, as you stood up here, you promised some things too. You promised that you would place in Ethan's hands the Holy Scriptures, that you would provide for him in Christian instruction, that you would teach him the Lord's Prayer, the commandments, and the creed so that he might grow to be the man that he is today, that he might grow to be a man of faith. You have done that. You've done that. And you didn't do it alone. You got two remarkable people standing behind you who have supported you along the way too, and a family along the way as well. How blessed you are, Ethan, to have this family, these people who have nurtured you and supported you in the faith. How blessed you are to have your God, who is with you always. Kendra and Dan, you have fulfilled those promises today, but it's not done. it continues. And so now I ask you, do you covenant, do you promise to continue to nurture Ethan in his faith? Do you continue to hold him up in prayer? Do you continue to support him and love him? If so, answer, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me. Members of St. John's, do you promise to continue to support and encourage these parents and all parents everywhere as they support and nurture and love their children in the faith? If so, answer, we will, with God's help. Ethan, do you continue in the covenant God made with you at Holy Baptism? Do you promise to continue to live among God's faithful people, to hear God's word, to share in his supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ Jesus through word and through deed, to serve all people following the example of our Lord, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? If so, answer, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me. Let us pray. Dear God of creation, we ask your blessing upon Ethan as he enters a new period in his life. Bless him and grant him your gifts, joy as he lives among your people, openness in hearing your word, thankfulness in sharing in your supper, eagerness in sharing the good news of Christ through word and action, dedication in serving all people, following the example of our Lord Jesus, and a hunger for justice and peace. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. At this time, Ethan, I'm going to ask you to kneel. All right. Mom and Dad, you're going to Grandma, Grandpa. I don't want to exclude you. Sorry. Go ahead and place the quilt over Ethan's shoulders, and then I would ask all of you to place your hands on his shoulder. Yeah. I purposely put the air on over here. All right, Ethan, my young, not so young friend in Christ, there was a day not so long ago when you were held in the arms of your parents, your grandparents. You were rocked to sleep. You were cuddled in a blanket to keep you warm, to keep you safe and comforted. Very soon you'll be launching into a new life away from the safety and the security of home, family, church, and community. As you go out into the world, may this quilt be a reminder of your family's love and nurture. May it be a reminder to you of this Christian community. Wherever you go, when the night is cold and perhaps you feel alone, may it help you to remember that in God's family, you are never, ever alone. I would ask all of you to repeat this blessing. Ethan, we come this day before God to bless you and to thank him for the gift that you have been to us. You have given my life a deeper meaning and a deeper calling. Through you, I have come to understand the nature of God's love, of joy, of forgiveness. I thank God for the gift you have been to my life. Wherever you go, you will always be a part of me. Wherever you go, my love goes with you. Whatever you do, you will be a part of my heart. I bless you in the name of Jesus. May this quilt remind you of my love and the warmth of this faith community. May it remind you of the power of the Holy Spirit. And on those nights when we can't wrap you in our arms, may you wrap yourself in this quilt and know that in God's family, you are never alone. All right, Ethan, you're going to stand. And this is going to get interesting because I'm going to have Grandma and Grandpa kneel too. So you figure out how you're going to put two hands on four people. Ready, set, go, college. College bound. All right. Well, that's a good idea too.
Oh, that's perfect. See? Yeah, that's for sure. All right, Ethan, you're gonna repeat after me now, okay? You have given of your heart. And of your homes. You have loved. And cared for me. Even when it was difficult.
Even when it might have been difficult.
Yeah. There you go. I bless you this day. For the sacrifice you made for me. I thank God this day for the power, selflessness of your love. I honor you for your courage, your patience, your wisdom, and your undying love. Wherever I go, you will always be a part of me. Wherever I go, your love and example will continue to bless me. Whatever I do, I will always be yours. And I thank God for blessing my life with each of you. I bless you in Jesus' name. And now to you, my good friend Ethan, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congratulations, my friend. All right, so it's not done yet. I'm going to have you turn and face everybody here. All right. Now you're on the spot. You can take the quilt off if you want. It's pretty toasty in here. It's been neat. I sat in the office this morning, kind of putting stuff together. I thought about 11 years ago when I came here and what you looked like and where you were, and you weren't taller than me then. But I think one of the greatest gifts of pastoral ministry is to be able to watch people grow and to develop and become the people that God intends for us to be. And that is without any doubt in my mind, that is what I have watched in you. You've been a blessing to this community over the years. And I know without doubt you're a blessing to your family. You're a remarkably gifted young man, and while it seems like this part of your life, one thing is done, right? You've completed, but now is the beginning of something remarkably new for you, and the work that God began in you in holy baptism is continuing on. As I kind of talked about today, we're called to be a people that bear fruit into the world, and that's just what God is going to do with you. Wherever he leads you and whatever path, vocation you're going to be pursuing, always remember that God is at work through you. You don't have to be a guy that stands in a pulpit on a Sunday morning to have the love of God proclaimed through you. You're crucial to this world. You're one of Christ's ambassadors, and I know God is going to do amazing things through you wherever you are. Why don't you just take a minute and kind of explain to everybody what you're going to be doing with yourself, where you're going, and...
I'm attending the University of Rochester. I actually move in on Tuesday. I'm playing football. So that's where I have to move in.
No way.
I study biology in hopes to pursue medical school and complete for sure.
Attaboy. Fantastic. Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, good job. Really, good job. You're blessed, and what a blessing you have been to Ethan. Just beginning now, though, right? God bless you, my friend. I'm gonna have you going to back with me, okay? You have to wear the quilt back there, though. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'll have you going to back with me, and you can shake hands with folks and give them an opportunity to congratulate you. Thanks to Sue again for taking care of the embroidery on the quilts for us. So, all right, folks, that's it. I'm done. Have a blessed week, all right? Go in peace. Serve the Lord.